This is Straight Fire with Jason McIntyre.
What's up, everybody? It's me, Jason McIntyre. Straight Fire for Friday, April 9th. I want to thank you guys. A lot of great response to the interviews this week. Media guy Ryan Glassbeagle, NFL book writer Seth Wickersham, of course, Jay Billis over the weekend was great stuff. It's been a banner week. The numbers for the month of March were in, and I believe it was our second best month since the podcast began. And a lot of factors go into it, but I need to thank you guys, the audience, for driving the numbers up and subscribing, rating, and reviewing. We're taking this to the top, baby! And speaking of the top, I'm going to do an NBA topic here, and it's going to anger a lot of people. It's one that, I don't understand why you guys see it this way. We'll do that in a second. I just wanted to point something out on the NFL real quick, because we are going to be doing a lot of draft stuff coming up. This is what's so weird. And I could say this unequivocally, okay? December 2020, Mac Jones, the Alabama quarterback, leading Alabama to the national championship, alongside a slew of All-Americans. He was not considered a lock to be a first-round pick. He was like playing his way into the first round. Oh, he could crack it. You know, he's not that great of an athlete. Is he mobile? You know, all this stuff. Come February, Mac Jones is now a first-round quarterback. He will be in the first round. It's a matter of where. Patriots at 15 makes a lot of sense. That was the narrative. Fast forward to the first week in April 2021, and you've got three media guys, Adam Schefter of ESPN, Michael Lombardi, who knows the Shanahans well from his time in the NFL, and Chris Sims, a former NFL quarterback who works at, I think, NBC now. All of them are saying Mac Jones is a lock to San Francisco at 3. And this is what's so awesome about the NFL draft process. Nobody understands why or how this has happened, but it's happening nonetheless. A lot of people watch football. They saw Mac Jones be a good quarterback. I mean, it looked great in the national championship, of course. I mean, it was incredible. And it was a blowout. Ohio State's defense wasn't that good anyway. And all of a sudden, people start watching his pro day and how he tests, and Mac Jones goes from maybe a first-round quarterback to he's going to go third, and the 49ers traded up to third to get him. This is what I love so much about the NFL draft. I know in gambling you don't like uncertainty, and the NFL draft is full of uncertainty. I'm still here to say I'm not 100% convinced it's going to be Mac Jones. It's almost like too many people are saying, it's got to be Mac Jones, that it can't possibly be Mac Jones. I personally watch a lot of football, guys. I know you guys watch a lot of college football, and every time you turn on Mac Jones, he was slaughtering a bad, bad team in the SEC because the SEC was as bad as it's been in years. And Mac Jones was like, nice job. Every quarterback at Alabama puts up big numbers. And now Mac Jones is going third. So I just want to start by saying, get that off my chest real quick as we head into the weekend. Ain't no way on earth I would take Mac Jones third. I'll just say that. But we'll do more on this in the coming weeks. But I think the big story in sports right now has to be, no, not LeBron's cryptic IG message that him and Anthony Davis, there's a storm coming. You know, they're very Catwoman of him, of course, from Batman versus Bane. There's a storm brewing, you know. By the way, that's such a great movie. I quote it all the time. My kids hate it. And, you know, it's spring break this week in the area where we live. So, you know, we go away for a couple days. And I'm that dad who likes to, like, embarrass the kids a little bit. But I don't think it's embarrassing. I think it's cool. And I, like, quote Bane from Batman versus Bane. And my son's like, Dad, just come on. And my daughter's, like, walking away. And I'm like, guys, this movie's cool. And, I'm cool. I can quote good movies with a pretty decent Bane voice. And they just roll their eyes. But hashtag dad life. No, LeBron and Anthony Davis returning to the NBA, not the biggest story. Although there is chatter, they could be back Saturday night, prime time, against the Brooklyn Nets. The Brooklyn Nets, of course, got Kevin Durant back on Wednesday. Kevin Durant played well, 17 points, did not miss a shot in 19 minutes. Did have 6 turnovers, but, you know, he was plus 22 in his little time on the floor in a beatdown of the Pelicans. And Kevin Durant has a podcast because he's such a business mogul. I mean, he's probably going to be a billionaire, you know, by the time he's 40. And on his podcast, he and Draymond Green were talking about when KD joined the Warriors. And you guys know this, okay? In your past, you probably don't remember everything exactly how it was. There is a little bit of a slant, right, to exactly how it went down. This is how I remember KD going from OKC to the Warriors. It was right before the All-Star break, and I remember this vividly. I was in San Francisco for the Super Bowl, and I was doing like a tryout with FS1, and there were some other people there, and we were putting on shows during the week. And I came back to my room. I don't remember. It might have been like Wednesday of Super Bowl week. And I had all these texts, and you've got to read this story. Kevin Durant could go to the Warriors. And Wojnarowski wrote it. And Woj was at Yahoo Sports at the time. And it's like an All-Star break story. Like, what? What? Huh? Ahead of the All-Star break, hey, Kevin Durant to the Warriors, you can't rule it out. And everybody was like, no, there's just no way. What? And when Woj writes it, you guys know this, it's probably going to happen. 99% chance of it happening. So you file it away and you fast forward. And then the Thunder lead the Warriors in Game 6 in OKC. And I'll never forget this game because we were on the verge of moving to California. We had packed up just about everything. But because it was the NBA playoffs, ain't no way I was packing our TV. And I kept our cable on to the very last second. And that was the Klay Thompson game where he went bananas and made a million threes. And it was just, it was crazy. And the Warriors come back, win the series. And then Kevin Durant goes from OKC to the Warriors. And on Durant's podcast, he's talking with Draymond. And in that finals, after the Lakers, after the Warriors dispatch OKC, they go and lead LeBron and the Cavs 3-1. Draymond gets suspended. Cavs win 3 straight. Cavs win game 7 on the road in Oracle. That was one of the more depressing game 7s I can remember as a fan. Obviously, I was rooting for Curry and had some money on the Warriors in that game. And the next thing you know, Draymond is recruiting Kevin Durant. And on the Durant podcast, him and Draymond are like joking about it. And all of a sudden, Draymond's like, yeah. Remember I called you? I was like, did you see that? Yeah, you got to come up. You got to pull up. And KD's like, yep, I got it. And it was done. And Kevin Durant left. And for whatever reason, everybody wants to continue to kill Kevin Durant for leaving OKC for Golden State. And I cannot get with it. I could not get with bashing him back then. I was one of the few guys who defended the move, and that's probably why Durant ended up hitting me up on Instagram DMs, because I kept posting the stuff I would say on FS1 and on the radio show, and I would tag him, and eventually he started just sending me DMs, and I was like, whoa, is this really Kevin Durant? I showed like my wife and my kids. I was like, oh my gosh, this is great. I didn't tell anyone at Fox because I didn't want to be like that nerdy guy who's like, oh, KD's hit me up on the gram, you know? And we would talk. He hasn't returned a DM in like over a year for sure. But I defended Durant's move, and I still defend it. Think about this logically. Like, put yourself in your life. You come out of college. You are in accounting. And you get drafted. Not your choice. You get drafted by this company. You're with them for a long time. And you decide, we had a good run. This was a lot of fun. I'm ready for a new challenge. I'm ready for a new shop. I want to move on. Like, nobody would argue with you. Nobody. You want to leave. Hey, you want to check it. You know, you're sick of living in Oklahoma City. You want to live in, you know, the Bay Area? Go for it. Well, nobody cares. But for some damn reason, the NBA, this idea that wherever you're drafted It is your duty to stay there. Well, Bird didn't leave. He got drafted by the franchise that had the most titles in NBA history. Well, Magic didn't leave. See the Larry Bird answer. Well, Michael Jordan didn't leave. Okay. I've been over this so many times. Michael Jordan got drafted into the city of Chicago, one of the top five cities in America. Michael Jordan couldn't win anything in the 80s. Couldn't get out of the second round of the playoffs. They ended up getting him everything he wanted when his contract was up. He got to pick the coach, Doug Collins. He was happy getting the MVP award. He was like on top of the league as a player, just wasn't winning titles. Ain't no way he's leaving Chicago when he gets the run of everything. So fast forward to the 90s and oh, wait a minute. Shaq left. I don't remember anybody killing Shaq. And Kobe forced his way at the draft from Charlotte to the Lakers. Remember the threats? Like, I'm not playing. I would rather go to Italy, like where my father played, than play with the New Jersey Nets, whose coach at the time was Calipari. Like, so many players and athletes have done whatever they wanted. But for some reason, the narrative was Kevin Durant's a bad guy because he didn't want to play with Russell Westbrook anymore. I just want to remind everybody. Yes, OKC did everything right. They drafted Westbrook. They drafted Harden. They drafted Durant. They put players around them. And they got them into position to win. And they just lost in the finals. Remember, lost in the finals to the Heat. And what happened? The front office said, I don't think we can afford James Harden, our sixth man. And I don't know what his future is. And they trade James Harden. Now think about this. Kevin Durant, his legacy is tied to the franchise and essentially the GM, right? Because your GM's calling the shots. So Kevin Durant is not calling the shots the way LeBron was calling the shots when he formed a super team, the way Kawhi Leonard was calling the shots when he formed a super team with the Clippers. Like, this idea that, A, you have to stay where you're drafted is total balderdash. I'm out on that. I'm sorry. Go wherever's going to make you happy. I'm on record right now. Zion Williamson, 2 years in New Orleans, zero playoff appearances. I don't see any foundation of a playoff team or title contender in the Pelicans. And if I'm Zion, I don't even stay past my rookie deal. I don't. And I know New Orleans fans are going to be angry. That's so wrong. You just want him on a star market. No. I just don't want Zion getting shafted and people pooping on him because the Pelicans haven't built a team that can win. They haven't. Remember, Michael Jordan wasn't winning anything until Phil Jackson showed up, until Scottie Pippen showed up. He didn't win anything. Like, this idea that Zion or anyone can do it by themselves, LeBron couldn't do it by himself. And I think the bigger picture with LeBron is he was in Cleveland, took a raggedy group, the Delonte West crowd, to the finals. They got swept by the Spurs. But Danny Ainge identified it as LeBron's going to be a problem. We need to ante up. What does Danny Ainge do? Let me bring in future Hall of Famer Kevin Garnett. Let me bring in Ray Allen, one of the best shooters in NBA history. That's how the Celtics got a title. That's how Doc Rivers got a title. Danny Ainge, great moves. Meanwhile, LeBron's looking around like, oh, you gave me Antoine Jameson. Oh, that's so kind of you. And, 34-year-old Shaq, thank you. I'm going to do this on my own in Miami. Peace. Like, this is what smart people do. They join forces with other stars. This is the way to go. Don't bash Durant for taking a call from Draymond after the finals. And Draymond says, yo, did you see this? We need you. And KD says, yep, I'm on the way. Boom, two titles. Boom, KD, two finals MVPs. And we all know they would have beat the Raptors if Klay and KD didn't get hurt. I mean, don't even push back on that. Seriously, there's no argument to stand on. That was a good Raptors team. They were very good. The Warriors are the greatest team, I believe, in modern NBA history. The KD, Steph, Klay Warriors. That team is just unbelievable. I don't even really think it's particularly close with Jordan's teams. They were excellent, obviously. But I just want to I just want to quickly put that out there. Let's stop bashing Kevin Durant for going from OKC to Golden State. The man is entitled to do whatever he wants. He made the right decision, clearly. And now he's going to Brooklyn. I didn't love the decision initially, but they got James Harden. So things are looking up. So I just wanted to get that off my chest. Time to move on.
Fox Sports Radio has the best sports talk lineup in the nation. Catch all of our shows at foxsportsradio.com. And within the iHeartRadio app, search FSR to listen live.
All right, Rob G., I've ranted enough about Kevin Durant. I've defended his honor. You are here, as usual, to besmirch it. Go for it. Take him down. Get angry. Kevin Durant, go ahead. Fire away, Rob.
I hate when you do that because I'm not going to besmirch Kevin Durant. That's not my opinion at all. I have no issue with guys exercising their right to change teams. Free agency is there for a reason. And, you know, let them do whatever they want to do. My only pushback is this. You brought up LeBron James and you brought up Shaquille O'Neal as two guys who changed teams and they didn't get the same kind of backlash as Kevin Durant. What makes KD different than those guys is not that he left, it's where he left to. Had he decided, I'm going to join forces with Kawhi Leonard, I'm going to join forces with Paul George, I'm going to join up with, you can't say LeBron could just won the championship, but somebody else, somebody who had not just won 73 games, somebody who had not just beat his team and come back from 3-1 in the Western Conference Finals. That's what makes Kevin Durant's move look a little suspicious. I mean, and the specifically with the LeBron James comparison, you brought it up yourself even. What separates the KD and the LeBron James decisions is that LeBron had to leave because he could not get enough help where he was at. I know a lot of people like to say, especially back at that time, well, the Cavs were winning 60-plus games. You know, why can't you get over the top? LeBron, what are you not doing right? Like, you're obviously, you can't say your team's your teammates are not bad considering you're winning 63, 65, 67 games and you're just fizzling out in the playoffs. Kevin Durant had a really good roster with him in Oklahoma City when he left. I mean, say what you want about Russell Westbrook, his shortcomings as a player, that's understandable. But for what that team needed, he was a good player. Serge Ibaka was a good player. Steven Adams on that roster was a good player. They had a really good team. There's a reason they were up 3-1 over the Warriors. So that's my only pushback with Kevin Durant. It's not that he left. If he wants to leave next season and leave Brooklyn and go to the Lakers because we beat him in the finals, that's fine. You know, if he wants to do something like that. But, you know, going to the team that beat him and making it out like, you know, he didn't have the help that he needed in Oklahoma City, that's something that I just don't agree with.
Okay. I understand that gripe. I've heard it before. And my pushback is always the same. You, the listener, work in X field. And guess what? Your biggest rival is recruiting you. They are offering you everything that you have not gotten at your other place. Your other place was nice. You had great teammates. You loved the team. But man, this other bigger team, this company is recruiting you. And think about this. If you're Durant, right? You had a good run in OKC, no doubt about it. The year before, of course, they missed the playoffs. There were some injuries. Year before that, they lost in the conference finals. Year before that, there were injuries. Whatever it was, there was always something in the way. And now, here come the Warriors. They were, the year before they got KD, 73 wins. The year before that, 67. A beautiful brand of basketball. An unselfish point guard who's the antithesis of Russell Westbrook in Steph Curry. You've got Klay Thompson, who doesn't need dribbles to score 60 points. You've got Steve Kerr, a coach who has a free-flowing offense. Like, how would you not want to go to Golden State? I mean, the question isn't why would you go there? They're the best. Why would you join the best? The question is, why wouldn't you want to be with the best players? Like, Rob, like, obviously, you're on the rise at iHeart Fox Sports Radio. You know, you were producing my weekend show. then doing weekday shows with The Odd Couple. Now you're doing a podcast. Like, I mean, your star's rising. And if a rival, I don't think Ringer's a rival, but they have a podcast thing. They got Spotify. ESPN has a lot going on. If they call you and they're willing to give you whatever shift you want and all the trappings and the bells and whistles, it's like it's going to be tough to turn them down. And I don't think anybody could say if you were in Durant's spot, hey, man, I'm not going to play with the two greatest shooters in NBA history, okay, that just won 67 and 73 games. You know what? I'm going to stay with Russell Westbrook here in OKC. Forget about the Bay Area, that left coast stuff. That's not for me. I'm good in the Dust Bowl. Okay, I like Long John Silver's closing things down in the town at 11 p.m. on Wednesdays.
Hey, we are like, big in Oklahoma City. You better watch what you say. I'm just saying.
I'm not slamming the town. I'm just saying, Rob, like, I just can't buy this. Why do you have to go there? You know, this isn't like your girlfriend dumps you for your best friend. Like, that would be brutal. You know, obviously, I don't think this is necessarily akin to that. And I know I sound like I'm a Durant apologist and I'm defending him, but I just think big picture. And by the way, when you zoom out, Rob, and you look at the whole Durant saga in 20 years, 25 years, we've forgotten that Kareem Abdul-Jabbar, excuse me, won in Milwaukee and then said, get me the hell out of Milwaukee. I want to go play for the Lakers. We've forgotten that now. It's 40 years ago. History will be kinder than the current era is to Kevin Durant. It certainly will be. I don't think there's any way around that. That right now in the moment, this feels awful and social media is killing him and this Michael Rapaport garbage and all these little brush fires with Durant. History is not going to remember that. It's going to remember, oh man, Durant went to Golden State and won two titles, two finals MVPs. They had the greatest playoff run, 12-1 in the playoffs. 16-1 in the playoffs. Kobe and Shaq did not do 16-1. Jordan never did 16-1. Magic never did 16-1. I know the playoffs were expanded. Can't hold that against Durant. Like, I don't know, Rob. I can't get worked up about, you know, or even angry that Durant went to OKC. From OKC to Golden State.
Okay, well, I will just say this before I dovetail into something else off of the same Kevin Durant comment on the podcast that you opened this up with. I do believe that his move is going to be held against him long term. Not that it's going to, you know, be a huge talking point, but Kevin Durant is of the elite of the elite NBA players. Like, he's not, you know, apologies to your guy Steph Curry. He's not the Steph Curry tier. He's the Kobe, LeBron, Duncan, Magic. Like, he's that level.
So he's top 15 tier, right?
Oh, he's top 10. He might finish his career top eight, top seven.
Fair enough.
He is incredible. And
does he get into this top 10 tier if he stays in OKC?
That's a good question. I mean, I can't say that he wouldn't win two championships in OKC because they probably would have been the favorites had they made the finals that season, that they blew the 3-1 lead. They would have been favorites over LeBron's Cavs, I feel like. But when you get to that level, you have to nitpick to separate guys. Like the difference between, like, I've always said I have Kobe above Magic Johnson because of the defensive end of the court, and that's me. But when you're comparing that level of guys, like, you have to nitpick at the littlest things to separate them. And I think that's where it's going to come back to bite them. But I wanted to dovetail quickly to this. We didn't even talk about this before when we were prepping for the show. In the podcast, and they're talking about Kevin Durant's move to Golden State, he says, you know, it was a text with Draymond after game 7 of the finals. Did you see what happened? Yeah, I saw. I'm on my way. When I heard that, I don't know if you've thought the same thing, but when I heard that, I interpreted it as, did you see what LeBron James just did to us? Did you see how LeBron took a 73-win team? We were up 3-1. And he went supernova on us for 3 straight games, and we lost. There's no way that we're going to be able to contend with this guy. He's going to run the league roughshod for the next 5 years unless we do something about it. And that's how I took it. And to me, I know you already have LeBron over Michael Jordan in the all-time list, But for those of you who don't, which is someone like me who does not yet, that might be the biggest compliment I've ever heard. The fact that you have the best regular season team in NBA history, arguably the second best player in the league at that time, who himself has a very good team of his own, conspiring saying...
I think he was the MVP that year, right?
Yeah, I think he might have been the MVP. Okay. Oh, no, that was the Steph Curry MVP year, I believe.
Yes.
But those two guys, like that entity and this guy says, you know what? You're right. We need to come together because otherwise we don't have a chance against this dude. And to me, that says so much more about LeBron and what he's done and what he means to the NBA than Kevin Durant's actual move.
Huh. I will address that shortly, but I need to beep, beep, beep. I need to back up here. You just tried to slide in. You have Kobe over Magic. I don't think I've ever heard that from anyone outside of being a hardcore Laker fan. So I had to go to this website that compares players, just surface level stuff, Kobe versus Magic on this thing called Land of Basketball. Kobe and Magic both have 5 titles. Kobe obviously played much longer than Magic, 20 seasons versus 13. Season MVPs, Magic 3, Kobe 1. Finals MVPs, Magic 3, Kobe 2. Now, I know the all-defense first team 9-0 is massive, but again, Magic assist leader 4, Kobe 0. Kobe scoring leader 2, Magic 0. Magic twice the steals leader, whatever that's worth. Kobe 0, but he was first team all-defense 9 times. Steals. Doesn't really matter. I don't know. You really have Kobe over? Is that because of your era, you're a Kobe guy? Or do you firmly believe Kobe over Magic?
No, I firmly believe it. And it goes back to also, and I think I might have said this before, I don't know if I said it to you, I also have Tim Duncan ahead of Magic Johnson. And it's because of the defensive end of the court. Like I said, if you, outside of Jordan, LeBron, Kareem, who I think is a consensus top three, whatever order you want to do it, like those are the three guys. Everyone from 4 to 9, you can make a case. And what separates it for me, what separates Duncan and Kobe from, you know, Magic and Bird is Kobe and Duncan were elite defenders for 10 plus years, each of them, probably even 15.
Interesting.
And you know, with Magic specifically, I know maybe you probably shouldn't count this against him, but he played with Hall of Famers his entire career. So it's much different than what some of the things that Kobe had to deal with. As great as Shaq was, you know, it was Kobe, Shaq, and a bunch of dudes. You know, Pau, I think, is underrated all time. But before Kobe, Pau had never won a playoff game. And so those kind of things, I think, like I said, when you split hairs, that's why I have Kobe ahead of Magic.
So do you have Larry Bird ahead of Magic as well?
No.
Okay, because Larry Bird was 3-time all-defense second team. So he played defense. Apparently, Magic played 0 defense.
No, I mean, Magic, where his offensive skills, I think, outweigh that level of that discrepancy with him and Larry. But you can't, like you mentioned, 9-time first team all defense. I think Tim Duncan might be 8 times. It's like you can't just dismiss something like that.
Certainly not. No, that's fair. I disagree with it. I think it's
sure.
Fair. I mean, this is all subjective. Like, there's no right or wrong answer. But I had not heard that one.
And I feel bad, like I said, dissing Matt Johnson or Larry because they're awesome. But it's just like when you...
Well, and that's the problem when you get in these discussions.
Right.
It's like anything that's not super positive is basically like you think he's trash and he shouldn't have been an all-star ever.
Right.
And in reality, we're talking about, what, 50,000 players in the history of the league and we're talking about the top 15. But to go back to what you were saying about LeBron, obviously, major feather in his cap. Remember, this is the guy who created the Celtics super team. He then created the KD super team. I mean, you could even argue that Kawhi went from the Raptors to the Clippers and then called Paul George because LeBron was across town from him and he wanted to take him down. He didn't want to join forces. Remember, LeBron wanted Kawhi and Kawhi was like, nah, dude, I'm going to take you down. Everybody wants to come at the king. And that's another thing missing from the Jordan era. Like, you know, again, you want to zoom out on Jordan. Didn't win squat when Magic, Larry, and Isaiah ruled the NBA. Then, in what was Magic's final season before he had to abruptly retire due to HIV, Jordan beat him. Jordan never beat Bird in the playoffs that I'm aware of, and only extinguished Isaiah Thomas late in Isaiah's career. And Isaiah overall has more wins head-to-head against Jordan in the playoffs than anybody. And if you want to get really specific, you know, who did Jordan beat up in the 90s in the finals? Like Gary Payton and Sean Kemp, Stockton and Malone. Like, look who LeBron's going through. Historically great teams, multiple time MVPs. And yeah, you're right. It's certainly a feather in his cap that people are creating teams specifically to take him down. And that's why when you say generational talent, you can't just toss that around. You know? Like, I mean, did anybody create a team to try to take down Curry's Warriors, Curry and KD? I mean, the Rockets getting Chris Paul, or was that just like, like, we've got to do something. Let's make a move. I don't know that that was on the level of recruiting one of the best players in the league. But then again, a lot of people like Chris Paul. Off the top of my head, yeah, I can't think of many other teams that made moves and recruited specifically to go at one guy.
Yeah, if it is, I guess the closest would be, what, Shaq? And you know, but even then, the Portland Trail Blazers, when he was with the Lakers.
Oh, when the Blazers got Pippen.
Yeah, but by then Shaq hadn't become Shaq yet. You know what I mean? Like, even the Kings, they already had Vlade and Weber in place. They are like, you know, the Blazers already had Sabonis, and I think they already had Rasheed in place. So it wasn't necessarily that they were building teams to beat Shaq, but it was like, hey, if you're going to beat Shaq, you need to have a big guy who can bang with him a little
bit.
Yeah,
but I guess a big picture, it's different to for Draymond to admit the audio of the recruiting, whereas, you know, Scottie Pippen joining the Blazers and other teams forming in the early 2000s, like, I don't think it was that kind of free agency recruiting, right, that's happening now. I mean, when Kyrie goes to the Nets, he's like, KD, you're coming with, right? You know, and I would assume that they had their eye on James Harden, and that's why James Harden was like, yeah, I want to go to Brooklyn. You know, that kind of stuff is happening, but they weren't being built to take down anyone, at least that I'm aware of, because when they were formed, the Lakers had not won the title. LeBron was coming off the year with Lonzo, and he missed the playoffs. He was injured. So, yeah, I don't know that there's any comparison to it. I would love for somebody listening to come up with a comp for teams being created specifically with the intent to take down one player. Like, I don't think that was happening with Jordan in the 90s.
Oh,
like, Stockton and Malone were together forever. The Seahawks, the Sonics had their guys. You know, they were just teams out there. There wasn't like Voltron, let's join forces and get together. You know, like, I don't think that was a thing.
And it's funny that the Warriors had just won a championship.
Well,
and the fact that they decided, you know what, we're not going to be able to get through this guy, even though they had just won the year before,
yeah,
and that season had just won 73 games, and even they knew immediately afterwards, after they blew the 3-1 lead, yo, we can't beat this guy. We need more people. Yeah.
Do you know how much? What is this like called a sliding doors moment, where if Andrew Bogut doesn't get hurt, if Draymond doesn't get suspended, like, what happens? If the Warriors roll in that series and win 4-1, I mean, does Kevin Durant get the call? Does he go? He was still up in free agency, so he could have gone anywhere. But was there even a second team that I think he might have been considering the Celtics. I think there were a couple other teams he visited, but, like, I really look at that Draymond Green suspension in the final. And you have to admit, that was massive.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, the tone and you know, he was their best defensive player. Now your top two rim protectors are out. LeBron and Kyrie ran like a layup line, I think, in game six. It was pretty stunning. I still remember that, and it felt weird at the time, but man, oof.
Well, I think there's an even bigger sliding doors moment, which you mentioned earlier in the pod. Game six Western Conference Finals, the Klay Thompson game.
Yeah.
I think that even more so than the Draymond, because, like I said, I think that if OKC makes the finals, I think they're the favorites.
And then KD's not a hitman, right?
Yep. And let's say KD does beat LeBron head-to-head with him as, you know, without the stacked roster behind him. You don't think that means more? That one title might mean more than the two he already has?
So many ways to go with that. No, spot on, no doubt. The weird thing about the NBA is there really isn't any of that on the horizon this summer, right? I mean, unless you count Bradley Beal, and I don't put him in the class of any of these other, like, he's not even in the Jimmy Butler class to me. No. And that hurts the NBA. They need this stuff. This is the livelihood. Like, oh, what happens if? I just want to wrap up on one thing. This happened late Thursday night. Clippers, Suns. Pretty good game. TNT. And Rob, did you see Patrick Beverley getting ejected for the elbow with Chris Paul?
I did.
The only thing that came to mind was, A, Clippers are not going out like the punks that they are. They've been laughed at all year since that playoff loss. The Suns ain't going nowhere. Okay? We saw what they did on Wednesday night. Nice overtime win over the Jazz. Jazz are strong. The Denver Nuggets are, I believe, right now the best team in the West. Now, again, LeBron and AD have been out for a while. And, oh, yeah, the Lakers have LeBron and AD. So, essentially, you've got five really strong teams in the West. I know the NBA playoffs are like, 40 days, 40 nights. It takes forever. And I don't know. I'm just looking at these potential matchups, Rob. I didn't even mention Luka Doncic. I didn't even mention Damian Lillard. Dame's like maybe the MVP number two guy right now. With Harden going down for 10 days or more. He ain't winning. Who's winning the MVP? Jokic? Lillard? So I don't know, Rob. I'm just very excited for the NBA playoffs. Like And I know that's tough to say because, NBA, woke, and all this nonsense. Dude, it's going to be heated. And there will be fans. By the way, Laker fans are coming in 1 week from today. And I'm kind of geeked for the West. The East, should be all right. We'll see who's healthy. But any final thoughts on cheap shot artist Patrick Beverley?
No, nothing on him specifically, but two quick things on the playoffs. Number one, I'm disappointed we're not going to get a Phoenix-Utah series. I think that'd be a good matchup. I just think the way that the seedings are going to break out, one of them is not going to make it to the Western Conference Finals because they're going to play the Lakers, so that sucks for one of them. The other one being, as just watching last night's game between the Clippers and the Suns, I think that series would be so interesting for one reason only. There's only two guys on each roster that I would trust not to get a tight tuchus in a playoff game. It'd be Kawhi and Rondo with the Clippers and Chris Paul and Jay Crowder with the Suns. Other than that,
no,
I don't
respect
know.
Respect for playoff Paul George, huh?
No. I mean, like I said, Devin Booker's really good. Paul George is very good as well. But I don't know on a game-to-game basis what you might get from them. Like, even if Chris Paul has a bad game, it's not because he's scared. It's just because he had a bad game. Like, I don't know how anybody else on any of the other rosters would handle it. So I would love to see that series in the playoffs.
Yeah, I mean, listen, you there's a couple of real dogs in those games you talked about. Like, Beverly is a goon. The Morris twin. Jay Crowder is not to be trifled with.
Right.
We know he's mixed it up with LeBron multiple times. I think Chris Paul has a bit of an attitude.
Yes.
Which is maybe an understatement. And you know the only team that doesn't really... Well, I guess Jamal Murray kind of. You know I'm on the Jamal Murray bandwagon this week.
Yes.
He has that dog in him. I don't know if he has the Jay Crowder kind of dog that you need. The Patrick Beverley. It doesn't hurt to have that. The Lakers, who's their guy?
I guess you don't need one when you have LeBron and Anthony Davis.
I don't know. You need somebody to get LeBron's back when inevitably Jay Crowder is going to try to draw him into something.
Well, then we bring in our Morris twin. We got one too.
Morris twin. Yes, I guess that's the counter. Because they had Rondo. Remember Rondo last year went at it with Russell Westbrook in the bubble. And then Westbrook's brother, I believe,
yes,
was chirping at Rondo from like the sideline in the bubble. And they were like, I think he got ejected. Like Rondo was kind of a mess. You needed that, right?
Yep.
I don't. THT ain't bringing that. Caruso is not bringing that.
Don't you disrespect the bald eagle.
Yes. The bald eagle. So, yeah, listen, Lakers, you know, I don't know what Drummond is. I don't know if he's really built for that, but he is a large individual. And there, by the way, there is some quiet hype bubbling in L.A. around Drummond on the floor with AD and LeBron. And just the length and size that they are going to bring. I mean, when you watch the Lakers now, they have nothing inside. You know, I mean, there's a chance Rob G could get some buckets on the Lakers on the interior right now. I'm not going to count the Lakers out. You can't. But I'm excited if LeBron and AD show up Saturday night against the Nets. That would be must-see TV. And you know what? The league kind of needs it, and there's an opening here. I know the Masters is this weekend, Rob, but otherwise, it's been like a slow week in sports.
Oh, yeah. And then, you know, with the Masters doing itself no favors when the co-favorites were both like 9 and 11 shots back, respectively, after day one. Dustin Johnson and Bryson DeChambeau.
Yeah, I barely looked at the scoreboard of the Masters, but I'll check it this weekend. All right, everybody. Thanks for listening this week. Great set of shows. Subscribe, rate, review. We'll talk to you on Monday.